Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
We were all down at Margie's bar, telling stories if we had one. Someone fired the old jukebox up. The song, it sure was a sad one. Teardrop rolled down Bubba's nose from the pain the song was inflicting. And all at once he jumped to his feet, just like somebody kicked him. Bubba shot the jukebox that night, said it played a sad song, it made him cry. Went to his truck and got a 45. Bubba shot the jukebox that night.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Dave with Redneck and Niners Radio. We're here live. It's Thursday, November 17th. 1 week from Thanksgiving. Everybody get ready to go home. All you truck drivers out there getting that freight done, man. Hey, Black Friday. I tell you what, I was out on the road the other night, and you could tell Black Friday's coming because there's a lot of trucks out on the highway, and it's something else. So everybody be safe out there on the roads driving. All you four-wheelers out there, watch out for them big trucks. They're coming in. They're coming in to the stores. They're coming in to the Walmarts. If you haven't noticed, if you go, all you guys out there, all you four-wheelers that think you know what you're doing, when you try to sneak around the traffic and go out the back way and you're getting in the trucker's way, there's a lot more storage containers out there. There's a lot more stuff out there. If you don't know, if you put something on layaway at a big Walmart, especially if in the big cities and they got those storage units out in the back, that's where that layaway goes. They throw it out there in those storage units. So if you got something that, you know, you might want to take care of, just watch out. Ain't no telling, right? But also, like I said, when you're going out back thinking you're going to get away from the traffic by just going through the back, you know, there's a way to get in and out. That's the truck route, okay? So truckers are coming in and out of there. Some of them, you know, they're a little too hurry, and you got to be careful. So enter at your own risk, because a lot of truck drivers moving fast on there. And I'll just tell you, sometimes they're not going fast because they're out of control and being an idiot. Well, that too, but, I mean, sometimes they just got to go to the bathroom, you know, and they got to get in and get stopped. You know, and it's when you're an older truck driver, sometimes the bathroom becomes priority. Hey, just say it. You want to know about trucking? That's about trucking right there. So give us a holler, 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit one. I'd like to thank one of our great sponsors, and that is Load to Ride Transportation. You can check them out at ltrtransportation.com. Like I said, I got the shirt right there. You can see it right there. There you go. Great little trucking outfit out of Denver, Colorado is what they got going on, and we appreciate all their support. So check them out, Load to Ride Transportation. That's ltrtransportation.com. And we're just going to rock it and roll through here, talking about some things about trucking. There are some comments from the Department of Labor changing the rules of the owner-operator and all that. So just pay attention to that kind of stuff going on in the news. And I don't know, you just never know, you know. Sometimes that's what happens. So let's check it out. Keep on rolling. And here's, let's see, where is it at? Here we go. So, yeah, just... keep things rocking and rolling here, Redneck and I's Radio. Like I said, talk about all things trucking and then some. If you got anything to say, let me know, 515-602-9731. We're also on YouTube Live. Go subscribe to YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. And check out our website, redneckandis.com. You can find links to all of our sponsors and all of our social media accounts, Facebook, all that good stuff. So check it out. And let's rock and roll here, Redneck and I's Radio. We'll see you in a bit.
supporters. DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Loud thunder, heavy rain, thin line between joy and pain. It's a long, strange trip, it's all insane. You ain't never gonna be the same. Live life through the night, thin line of a lightning strike. Sometimes the only light, when the moon is tucked away, pistons pumping, minds are racing, it's hard to sleep late, when I'm shaking, that moon surrounds me, it's always found me, creeping up when things are good. Yeah, the dark days find a way. Loud,
hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Ed with Redneck and Nines Radio. Welcome back. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731 to be a part of the conversation. Just hit 1. We're also on YouTube Live. We appreciate everybody joining along there. And let's check that out. Make sure everybody's doing good over there. Yeah, that sounds looks good over there. Appreciate that. And I got it. You know, we're a one-man show here. Even on Wednesdays, when it's just Tiff filling in, it's just Tiff. it's all it is. So it's a one-man operation. And I went out and I'm, you know, you get a fancy computer, and even then it's like why isn't it working? So everything we do, we try to get done. You know what we got going on, and you know, hey, it's sometimes it's just us, and we got to work. We can't do the show. We got family things come up, we can't do the show, so you know, we try to do our best, and we appreciate everybody following along and staying with us, and we're just talking about all things trucking and then some. You know, we get involved in the news and things like that, so we appreciate everybody doing that. Like I said, check us out, redneckandnines.com, and get all the details of what we're all about, and it's pretty exciting. So yeah, what I found out, Freight Waves, it came out earlier this week, but it's a what happened was, I don't know if you guys remember, but the Department of Labor, they're following pretty much the California suit of identifying the rules that make an independent contractor, you know, what those rules are. And the IRS is pretty much the ones that decide that. Well, they came out with a rule whether or not you 1099 somebody. And basically it's like, you know, if you can pretty much just say, you know, you're a contractor, all of a sudden, boom. And I'm going to 1099, whether or not you know, it doesn't matter. Like, I mean, if you guys see, when you guys go out there and you see FedEx trucks going down the highway, most of all the FedEx trucks are all owner operators. They're all like fleets. Like there's a, each service center, each warehouse that FedEx uses, they contract different people that bid on lanes. And it's not, All they do is like, okay, we got, you know, let's say in San Antonio, they say we got one going to El Paso, we got one going to Houston, we got one going to Austin, we got one going to Waco, we got one going to Dallas, you know, whatever, Laredo, Valley, two or three, whatever. And individual people, I mean, it doesn't matter who it is. You go in there and you, I guess you say, I have a DOT number, I have all my insurance, here you go. And then they say, okay, now which lane do you want? And you bid, and it's like a different time period where everybody gets to bid, and everything goes up for bid, you know. And it's like whoever's been doing it the longest gets the first crack at it, and if they pass on it, then you can pick it up or whatever. Or it's like, man, I don't even know if it's like a dollar amount. You can say, no, I'll do it for less money or whatever. But what do you call those are all owner-operators. And the drivers are driving day cabs, but the day cabs are owned by – they're not owned by FedEx. Sometimes you'll see it written on the truck. It's operated by in small letters underneath FedEx. It has the name of the company that's running it. And those drivers might be getting W-2s, but they're getting W-2s from a company that's getting 1099 by FedEx, that kind of thing. So when they start changing these rules is where you're going to start seeing things have to change. In California, that's what's really the problem is that say you're a trucking company and you want to hire owner-operators to haul the freight. You've got maybe 5 company trucks, but you don't have enough company trucks to do what the job requires, so you're going to hire an owner-operator to fill the gap. Well, California, you can't do that because the rule is in California, if you do the business, you can't hire anybody to do the same business. So you can hire a contractor to be a plumber if you're a trucking company, but you can't hire another trucker basically that is a trucking company without the DOT number, you know, without any kind of operating authority. They're just operating under your authority. And you can't hire that person and 1099 them as a contractor because they're doing the same job that you originally do. So you can't do that. So that's why a lot of them are protesting, because there's a lot of owner-operators out there, people that are leased on the carriers. They like the model that way. They like being able to maybe set their own schedules. You know, there's some rules. Some carriers don't allow that, but, you know, others do. Or you set your own hours, like where you can – you know, come in the morning and then next day come in the afternoon. All depends on what's going on with you, you know, and everything. But also they like where you can drive your own truck. You can wear what you want, your sparse clothes, stuff like that. A lot of places require uniforms, like FedEx. FedEx requires uniforms for the drivers that they don't even pay. You know, you see those drivers in day cabs, like I said, they're company drivers. They don't work for FedEx. They work for a different company, but they're wearing a FedEx shirt. FedEx uniform, shorts, or whatever, pants. You know, they're wearing FedEx stuff. There might even be some UPS style stuff like that, but UPS is a national contract with the Teamsters, so it's very limited on UPS. They're one of the biggest that does with the Teamsters and stuff, but different states have different rules, and that's why they have a different setup that way. But so the Department of Labor, which is the federal government, is coming down. It says comments come in from trucking sector on proposed Department of Labor independent contractor rule. And it says here most oppose proposal, but expressions of support exist. And it says doing a search on the word trucking embedded in the comments of the Department of Labor's proposed independent contractor rule results in mostly in criticism of the proposal, but it's far from unanimous. It says most of the comments to the rule read by FreightWaves had the same basic thrust. The independent owner-operator model as it stands today in the U.S. has been profitable and led to financial success for its practitioners, but is threatened by the proposed rule and would guide decisions by the wage and hour division of the Department of Labor. It says, but there is dissenting voices as well. When the proposed rule is listed in the Federal Registers and the comment period is open, because there often are submissions that are written by a third party and then submitted multiple times verbatim by different commenters. In this case, with the Department of Labor rule as well, employers are increasingly misclassifying workers as gig workers in order to avoid their responsibilities on everything from employer-sponsored health insurance to paying employer contributions towards Social Security. According to the comments that is seen in multiple filings, at a time when corporations are raking in record profits while worker wages remain flat, it's critical that the Department of Labor implement policies that support workers' rights and more money into the pockets of working people. What it seems like to me is there's some kind of political action committee that's paying to have these blank, you know, it's kind of like a robot, like a bot, like the Twitter thing. There's multiple people, multiple accounts, multiple, I don't know, commenters, whether they're individuals or not, there's multiple comments talking about, and it's just kind of a, like you said, there's somebody that's cut and pasted, you know. And I thought when I first read that, I was like, it might be OIDA. It might be the other way around. OIDA sends out an email and tells the people that don't support the rule, hey, don't change the rule. Tell them in the comments, here's the link, and tell them this. And, you know, just tell them what to say. And, you know, but that's not the case. It's the other way around. It's the support of the rule seems to be where the multiple submissions of the same wording comes up in the comments. It says, but within those submissions might also be personal stories. For example, a commenter named Philip Holt of Illinois, who submitted that form letter, added that he had been classified by his employer as an independent contractor, but they violated the terms of the contract many times. It says the contract said that I needed to provide a vehicle suitable to deliver the packages on the route, he said. But they refused to allow me to buy a truck for my route, saying it does not match our fleet. Now, see, yeah, and there you go. And that right there is one of the biggest problems that we see. If anybody out there familiar with Prime out of Springfield, Missouri, they're basically all owner-operators. Correct me if I'm wrong, but there are no company drivers. They are all owner-operators. And basically, they're all lease purchase, okay, which means that so, like, what I did, I did a lease purchase, and I paid the truck off. I had a truck, right? And I'm looking at carriers to go work for, to take my truck, to become an owner-operator, and take my truck and sign on to that fleet as an owner-operator. I called Prime, looked me up, and they said, hey, you're doing great. You know, we'd love to have you. And I was like, all right, well, you know, here you need my truck information. No, we don't allow outside trucks. I said, why not? And then they start going into all this maintenance issues and whether or not the driver kept up with the proper, you know, just, you know, insurance and all that stuff. You know, just but all this gobbledygook about how, no, we prefer if you, you know, we don't allow outside trucks. We actually think it's better if you go ahead and just get one of ours. And we have a great program. And I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. And so you don't. A lot of people do it because, you know, it's a good job. You know, I mean, there are people that make a good living, but you are an owner operator. You know, make no bones about it. So it is, you know, and you see it all the time. I had a friend of mine that actually worked for him, and he did the whole thing. And first off, you know, they try to sell you on getting a smaller truck with a smaller sleeper, because if it's a smaller truck, it's got less weight, which means you can haul more freight. So first off, they try to talk him into doing that. And he's like, well, no, because if I'm buying a truck, I'm going to be comfortable in that truck. And of course, he's a bigger boy. So, you know, he's not going to do that. And then they're selling you on the super singles. Back in the day, the super singles were like, man, everybody was making super singles. And there were good super single tires that did good as far as fuel mileage. But there also were ones that did not do that well. They were cheaper. And they did not do that well on fuel mileage. You were actually better off having the duals on the truck. You can get better. There are tires, dual tires, getting better fuel mileage than these super singles. But they were using the cheap ones, and they were like, no, these here are way better in fuel mileage. And you're like, well, no, because according to Michelin, these tires are not. And they're like, well, that's wrong. I said, okay, Michelin, the people that make the tires, they're wrong when they're telling you it's not that good. These tires are not that good. And these are Michelin tires. So that whole thing. And like I said, it's all about, you know, and they want you in their truck. And, you know, when he does become an owner-operator, so let's say you're an owner-operator and you're working for Prime, you know, I don't know what they do this now. This is like 10 years ago. He was like, you know what? I'm up here in Kansas City. I got my brother coming to pick me up. We're going to go to dinner. You know, I'm going to take the next day and a half off. You know, I'm going to take a little time. And they're like, no, you can't do that. They go, we already got a load for you, book. We got a load for you, go get. He's like, no, I didn't know you had a load for me, and I didn't say I'd take a load. You know, I deliver this load tomorrow morning, and after that, I'm going to, you know, take some time off and go spend some time with my brother. And he's like, and they're like, well, no, we're not doing that. You need to give us at least a 7-day notice. Kind of that kind of stuff. So, you know, hey, technically, they're not breaking any rules when it comes to being an owner-operator. I mean, there's a lot of rules, and the IRS has like 20 rules, and as long as you check 10 of them, you're an owner-operator. You're a contractor. So, I mean, there and it, one of those things where the way the rule's written, you know, it's like I can answer no, but they answer yes, and they're the ones that write the 1099, so they're going to do it anyway. You know, it's so funny. So yeah, it's gonna come down the pipe, and it's gonna be weird. So it says the Biden administration proposal, like that of both the Trump and Obama administrations before it, looks to a six-part economic realities test to guide the wage and hour division in determining questions of independent contractors versus employee status. But the Trump administration rule, which went into effect just before Joe Biden took office, was yanked by the Biden administration and then reinstated by a federal judge, relied heavy on two core factors of economic realities tests, a worker's control over his or her work and the opportunity for profit and loss. And that right there, the opportunity for profit and loss. See, so if it checks on there that you could lose money, which means you're responsible for paying for the fuel. So technically you're going to be an owner operator as long as you're required to buy the fuel, as long as you're required to make the truck payment on the paperwork, it's going to classify you as owner operator, whether or not they claim that they have these, like, so at Prime, you know, I think their big selling point is let's say you take a week off. Well, they have like a program to where you don't have to pay the truck payment that week. They'll take it off of you. They'll move it around. You know, you won't lose any money. You won't go in the negative, as they say in the owner operator world. And so that eliminates the opportunity for profit and loss. But that's a side note. That's not the practice. The practice is you pay the truck note every week, or you know whatever. So really, the test should be: are you in control of the truck note? Which means that do I actually have to go to a website or make a phone call or put in it comes out of my bank account. The truck payment has to come out of my bank account. I control it. If I don't pay the truck note, you know, it's on me. And that's the way it should be as an owner operator. Now, if you guys go back to the old days, back when Arrow Trucking out of Oklahoma went out of business, a lot of truck drivers were owner operator lease purchase. They had paid their truck off. The truck company went out of business. They went bankrupt. They went kaput, shut everything down, fuel cards off, drivers stranded, you know, right before Christmas, bad deal, okay? Over the course of the next 6 months while they're trying to sort everything out, there's truck drivers that said, this is my truck. I paid it off. I have yet to get the title from the company, but the company, Arrow, said, I made these payments. I own the truck. And the banks were like, no, the title is still with us. Those payments that you were making did not come to us. So we still need money. We still are owed money. And he's like, well, I've got settlements that says I paid that money, and the money never got paid to the bank. So to me, that might be a rule that probably needs to be implemented, is that, you know, if you are the true owner of the truck, you know, then your name needs to be on the title, and you need to have, you know, in communication with the bank that directly financed that, you know, and the title transfer. So like in these big companies like Schneider and Swift and all that, when you do a lease purchase, the title is never put in your name. And you know how you do that? Like, you know what banks do when you finance a car or even a truck, these big truck guys, you know that. You go to a bank and you say, you know, I'm the buyer of the truck. Here's my bank information for the loan I'm getting. And when they write it up, there's the owner and there's the lien holder. Okay, the bank is the lien holder. You are the owner. And these bigger companies, it doesn't work that way. The lien holder might be somebody else, but the owner is going to be the leasing company. And of course, the leasing company, being that they're these big conglomerate, you know, multi-million dollar corporations, they own the truck outright. but they still have the title in their name because they're a lease company. They're not a bank. So I think there might be laws about lien holder. They can't be classified as a lien holder, but they're giving you a loan under the rules of the lease agreements, not buying the vehicle. And that you got to watch out for that too. So really the rule should be that you are the owner of the truck. If you're not the owner of the truck, you're not an owner operator. Basically, but you know, because these lease purchases, I think the lease purchase is the biggest problem in the owner-operator industry. That is the biggest thing. That is the, what do they call it, predatory lending? It's predator. Because they call you up, no strings attached, no money down, no credit needed. Big red flags. Big red flags. And so... says, but the Biden administration's proposal wants all the tenets of the economic realities test to be considered on equal basis, giving no greater weight to any of the six parts. It says, as a trio of attorneys for, Littler Law Firm wrote in analysis, the proposed rule would define the employee broadly as any individual whom an employer suffers, permits, or otherwise employs to work as an intended to encompass all workers who has a matter of economic reality are economically dependent on any employer for work. The proposed rule further explains that the independent contractor is only a worker who is, as a matter of economic reality, in business for themselves. And that, I mean, just like that, you know, so the permits, all the permits are controlled by the carrier, you know, all that stuff. All the money comes to, like they're going to give you a fuel card, all that stuff. And so the way it sounds to me is that all that's got to go away. You got to go get your own, because that's what they're doing in California. The owner-operators, what they're protesting is they've got to go out and get their own permits, which is expensive. You know, they got to go out there and get their own fuel cards, which is almost impossible these days if you're not already, you know, unless you have. And that's the other thing too. It's about just like the whole lease purchase, you know, no credit needed, no money down, no risk, all that stuff. That means you can have very bad credit and still buy a truck, still lease a truck. Fuel cards, on the other hand, if you want to go get your own fuel card, you might have to have good credit. You might have to put money down, you know, that kind of stuff. So you got to watch out for that. And yeah, there's a bunch of other things. We're going to continue on to this here and continue talking about it. It's a long article. It's on freightwaves.com. So we'll continue to dive into that. We got about 30 minutes left. So I'm going to step away here, get a drink of water, and we'll see what happens here in a second. Where are we at? About that one. There we go. So, yeah, go check us out, redneckandeyes.com. We'll take a break. We'll be back here in a few seconds, and we appreciate everybody's support. At Redneck and Eyes Radio, 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody's support. We'll see you in a minute. Yeah.
the hot tonight for love and pursuit. Rock you like a hurricane. I'm ready, baby. Here I am. Rock you like a hurricane. Here I am. Rock you like a hurricane.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneckinize. Redneckinize, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
Give us a holler, 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation, just hit one. Go check our website out, redneckinize.com. Appreciate everybody doing that. You can find links to all of our great social media accounts like Facebook, YouTube. YouTube's great. We're on YouTube Live right now. And Instagram, Twitter. Looking forward to getting on Twitter more. I think the first of the year we might start getting some regular stuff on there because, you know, he's cleaning house over there, that Elon Musk. Pretty awesome. So, like I said, you can get all those links on the redneckinize.com, and we got photos and stuff like that on there, and our videos that are YouTube, we got them on the website too. And go check those out. Also, links to our great sponsors. One of the great sponsors I like to mention is Trucker Tools, the Trucker Tools app. You can download the app on your app from your app store, from your phone there, and it's just a place where they've got where you can plan freight, book freight, you know, track freight, all that. But they also got stuff where you plan your route. You can find truck stops and parking and even Walmarts, you know, and it's got a little thing on there for like a chat group where you can just, you know, communicate with other drivers and everything. So check it out, Trucker Tools. TruckerTools.com is their website. You can download the app from the App Store, Trucker Tools, the app for truckers. Appreciate all their support. So diving back into this, it was there is comments being accepted by the Department of Labor. Whoops. And they're talking about it. And what we've been recapping is that the Biden administration or the Trump administration basically had, you know, whether or not you can lose money, the opportunity for profit and loss, and control over his or her work is basically the two rules that, you know, I mean, I guess there is six rules, and those two are basically the biggest ones, and they never really worried about the others. Well, the Biden administration is throwing in and saying, no, you got to consider all of them. And basically they need to be like, you know, any type of money spent on that worker to get that worker done, like permits and anything like that, fuel card maybe, stuff like that, then that's got to be considered as part of the test. Continue on here. It says that in being viewed by labor attorneys as a definition of control of what would be more readily led the wage and hour division to classify a worker as an employee, the observation of a commenter named Gerald Ingram and his experiences led him to support the proposed rule and would probably be applauded by the authors in the Department of Labor. He quotes as saying, many companies will label a driver, owner, operator as an independent contractor simply to get out of paying the driver's proper compensation, he wrote. Because my current employer is a prime example. It might be prime. No pun intended, right? Quote, unquote, prime example. He says, well, yes, I do own my truck. I am covered I am coerced into working 65 to 70 hours per week. I have a set schedule. I have a mandatory real-time tracking device installed in my truck, an e-log, right? I am paid by the hour. I cannot go out and get a second job because I am limited to the hours I can work by hours of service rules. Independent contractor is someone or a business that is hired to do a very specific task, not doing the same thing every day for years. And, I mean, that's basically... It's like the working 65, 70 hours a week, having a set schedule. You know, like you say, might as well be an employee, right? Might as well not even have to worry about having a truck or whatever. If he wanted to take the day off, he should be able to take the day off without being punished. But the problem is they punish you. If you do, if you say, I need to take this day off, they'll say, well, then you're not on that route anymore. You're not doing that job. Or you might say, hey, I'll do this job, but maybe Thursday and Friday I want to do something else. And they'll say no. You know, and that's basically what it is. The whole second job thing, I mean, a lot of companies have this rule because of the hours of service. You're not allowed to, they call it moonlight. You're not allowed to work for another company because of that. I was a driver manager, and we had a guy that just got hired. He upgraded from a student, very, very new driver, immigrant to the country, working hard, right? Well, he was working hard all right. Not only was he a truck driver, he'd go out 4 or 5 days a week, and he'd always have, like, I need to go home. And as a dispatcher, you know, sometimes, you know, we see it all the time, you know, hey, no, you got to stay out. You can't come home. And a lot of times the company will say, you know what, we got to get him home. If he says family emergency, you have to trust him. You know, it's like, well, it's every Friday is a family emergency. so yeah, you know, got him home. Well, I mean, I came in on a Saturday one time. Very, very rare that I came in to the office this is in the morning on a Saturday, and I see him walking through the parking lot where the trucks are parked, and he goes out into his car. Now, my car is parked where his car is parked. His car was a yellow cab, and he was driving. So I was like, oh, crap, because even as a company, I mean, he wasn't even an owner-operator. He was a company driver. And I'm like, man, you know, so I called him on the phone and I said, dude, I'm there. And I just saw you in the cab. Are you driving a cab right now? He said, and I said, listen, you can't do that. You know, and you're going to get caught one way or the other. And he's like, no, I'll stop driving the cab. I'll stop driving the cab. So he, you know, we came in, brought him in, wrote him up. Hey, you're driving a cab. You can't do that as a company driver and all that. And then, like, maybe a month later, somebody saw him again in the cab, so they fired him. But a lot of companies don't want that. Even as owner-operator, they don't want you doing that because of the hours of service. You know, they don't. And we all know this from the history of hours of service. Remember the Walmart driver who ran into that Tracy Morgan's limo in New Jersey? Okay? The driver was working up there near, you know, like, what do you call it? Newark, New Jersey. But he lived down by Philadelphia, and he was driving three hours to work, getting in the truck, doing his 15 hours a day or 14-hour clock, and then driving back home. So So he had been up, you know, and for almost 24 hours by the time he had that accident. And what he was doing, he was speeding because his 14-hour clock was about to run out. And he was driving too fast for conditions because he was trying to get back to the yard before his 14-hour clock ran out. So, yeah. Says another critic of the current setup was Donahue, a driver buying a truck through their lease agreement. And it is, quote, simply an employee, Donahue wrote, and should be given all federal protections as an employee. And he was doing lease purchase, buying a truck through a lease purchase. And basically, you got to follow all the rules. I mean, basically, you're an employee. I mean, and that's, I agree with that. It says many of the comments in opposition to the rules see an apocalypse coming if it is adopted, the end of their days as independent owner-operators. It says it is often referred to by the critics in their comments as a law. If implemented, it is not a law. It is a guidance. But it is a guidance that most company attorneys would suggest that their clients observe as if it was a law. Through it is not specific and probably needs a few legal actions taken under it by the wage and hour division to build a body of law that a company needs to do to correctly classify its workers. This is among the critics of the proposal from the trucking industry, as many who cited California's AB5 test through the Department of Labor specifically said that it had considered and rejected using AB5 definitions in writing its proposal. It says that the three-prong AB5 test used in California is particularly problematic for trucking because of the B prong. The B prong says a worker can be considered independent if he or she performs work that is outside the usual course of the hiring entity's business. Boom. That's what I just said earlier. You can't, if you're a trucking company, you can't hire truck drivers to do your job as a contractor because you're a trucking company. And they explain, a trucking company hiring an independent owner operator to move freight risks being found in violation of the B prong. But the ABC test is not in the Department of Labor proposal, despite the many comments that seem to suggest it was. I think that what they're talking about in this one is talking about in the federal law, it's about spending money. If permit drivers buy permits, individual whom an employer suffers, permits or otherwise employs to work and is intended to encompass all workers who, as a matter of economic reality. And I mean, basically it's one of those things where I think the law, the way that, I mean, that's legal jargon, but I think what it is, it's like, so you have to work for this company to make money. Okay. It's not like you can go work for another company the same day or the same week. You can't. They're not going to let you. So that whole moonlighting thing, you know, it's got to go away as an owner-operator. You can't be subject to one company, you know, and that company, it's like what's going to have to start happening is that the truck driver, if you're required to have an e-log, you're going to have your own e-log. And the company has to be able to have access to that. So, I mean, that's what it may come down the pipe. Because a lot of times what it is, you go to work for somebody, they'll put their e-log, their computer. Just watch out for all that stuff. Where are we at? Oops. There's another parts of the regulation motor carriers using owner-operators understand that they have a for public safety, a duty for public safety, and must control the driver's operation, whether that person's a company employee or an independent contractor, Mahoney wrote. Goes, there's no middle ground. The motor carrier must enforce a significant number of controls, hours of service, inclement weather operations, pre- and post-trip inspection obligations, truck and trailer maintenance, routing. All this requires control and direction to the driver. And now that, see, and that's the other thing. in the FMCSA, the carrier is responsible for keeping up all of the logs, all of the maintenance records for all these vehicles. That's why, you know, we have talked about this before, where carriers, they are really strict on the maintenance records. You're only required to have a DOT inspection done on the truck once a year. A lot of carriers require that to be done like every 90 days, just because they want to make sure you're keeping up with the maintenance of the truck. And so what they do is they say, we'll pay for it. You just got to get it done every 90 days. So take it to any one of these places that will do it for us, and we'll pay for it, and they'll do it. And what happens there is it's kind of like a shakedown. And I had the same thing when I worked for Landstar. You know, I'm at the TA. The inspection is written is audible air leak, which means if the truck's sitting there quiet and they can hear the air, that's an air leak. Okay. Or if the gauge is losing air, you know, what is it? You know, 2 or 3 pounds a second or something like that, or 2 pounds a second, you know, and you see the gauge, you know, and all that. So that's the two reasons to know air leak. The guy goes and he gets the soap bottle, squeeze it up on the airbag up under the axle. And I mean, just a tiny amount of bubbles. I mean, not these huge bubbles that you see on a major air leak in an airbag. I mean, it was just tiny, very little bubbles. He says, you got to change that airbag out. I'm not going to pass this inspection unless you change the airbag out. So then I'm like, well, then I'll go get it done. I'll bring it back. And then he's like, we don't do that. We don't let you do that. He says, if you come back, you got to pay for the test. You got to pay for the inspection. You know, it's not free unless you get it done here, but you got to pay for the repair. And so that's a shakedown, you know, and that's like, well, that's not the rule. It's a pass. It passed the inspection. You didn't like it that it had tiny little bubbles, which could have been just the soap bubble in itself, not even the air. I mean, it wasn't even like it was creating bubbles. It was like, it was just sudsy water coming out of the thing. And, you know, I don't know. It was very, very, I was really upset. So yeah. I don't see on here that there is a leak or I mean a leak that there's a link Department of Labor, new rule for independent contractor status. Oh, this is the law firm. And that's what that is. So what I was going to try to find out is there a link to the actual commenting? Now, you can leave a comment on the Freightways. You go to freightways.com. We'll share this article on our Facebook page. And you can leave a comment on the actual Freightways website. The comments to the rule. Let's see. All right, here it is. Regulations.gov. Of course, we've seen this before. Employee or independent contractor classification under the Fair Labor Standards Act. So this is the link to it. I'm going to see if you can. So you say this might be, I think the comments are probably done with. Because it says you can look at the details, you can look at the actual documents, and then there's 26,000 comments, and you can look at all those individual comments. But it doesn't have a deal on here where you can leave a comment. So that might be where it's over. So you never know what's going to happen with that. And, of course, when right now we found out that Congress has changed, you know, hands here. We got the actual House of Representatives is now going to be under Republican control. And this is some of the things that they can check on, they can watch out for. They have committees, and the committees can just direct, you know, or they'll pull in the Secretary of Labor and say, what are you doing, you know, and all this. And then, of course, you're going to have judges challenge it, stuff like that. They can throw it out, or they can force them to go in and change it. So you never know what might happen. Nothing might not, you know, I mean, I would like to see big changes, because I'd like to see, you know, just like what Greg said the other day, anything that we do, we deserve. So throw the industry on its, you know, just throw it in chaos and see what happens. You know, just like with the whole e-log thing, a lot of trucking companies, you know, they go berserk when a law changes, because they don't really do it from the get-go. It takes them like a year or two to actually get it right. You know, I mean, they were coming down the pipe. A lot of carriers were saying that, you know, everybody has to have e-logs. Well, no, that's not the rule. You know, and then there were even the hours of service. You know, it's like no, it's going to be where you have to shut down. You have to do a 34-hour restart. No, you don't have to do a 34-hour restart. You know, and a lot of these carriers, they make you do a 34-hour restart just because, you know, they don't know any other way to do it. So yeah, it's, we don't know what's going to happen with this. It may take another 2 or 3 years for it to implement it. By that time, there'll be a different president, so you never know. And so you never know what might happen with that. So we'll be excited to hear what happens with that and see what comes down the pipe. So that was on freightwaves.com. Where are we at with that? So you never know what happens with that. We shared the article on the Facebook page. You can go check that out. And you'll find if you're not on Facebook, and I'll do, since I got it right here, pull that down, pull this over, copy link, and put it right here in YouTube. How about that? Boom. So there it is on our, I put the link to the article on our YouTube channel, or the under the comments under this video. So appreciate everybody doing that. So yeah, we got about 5 minutes left. I was going to go back here and check out any kind of updates to trucking news to see. Looks like there was a post office, a contractor that works for the Postal Service. They had a big accident, so there's a safety record challenge on that. Bad weather up there. Got snow up there in the New York, upstate New York area. Buffalo, the big thing I've been seeing, I haven't seen any kind of major accidents or anything in the trucking industry, but what I have seen is that they're expecting like a foot of snow, or 6 feet is what, like coming down in Buffalo. Buffalo is going to be playing Cleveland in Buffalo on Sunday, and they're expecting a lot of snow, so that might be a big game to play. They might not play it because it's too much snow, just too much. So it's going to be snowing over there, lake effect snow, they call it, where the cold weather comes across the lakes, all the moisture, and then the snow just dumps all over that part of, like, you know, northeastern Ohio, Erie, Pennsylvania area, northern Pennsylvania, upstate New York, all that gets all just dumped snow, just crazy amount of snow. So be careful out there. Michigan's also getting hammered on and everything, so just should everybody be safe with the snow up there. Weather's coming. It's down in the 40s down here in South Texas, so even down here, people kind of freaking out. But yep, winter's coming, so everybody be safe out there and doing that. So, go back up here to the top of the list. And like I said, we're gonna call it a night here. Hopefully back tomorrow night. I got a few things going on, so I hope to get things done before the show, and that way still have a show. So So look, working on stuff like that. But go check us out, redneckandknives.com. Appreciate all you guys' support and all you, and just continue watching and how everything's going on. Everything looks great. Appreciate everybody's support. And go check us out, redneckandknives.com. This is Redneck and Knives Radio Live. We're here every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. And it's you know, you can talk. It's a call-in radio show, so you can give us a holler. And we're also on YouTube Live. Appreciate everybody watching along with that. Go check us out. We got a lot of great videos talking about driving. We got videos directing, like videos to the four-wheeler. Say, this is how you should drive around big trucks. And this is why big trucks do what they do. You know, and it's kind of like told from the trucker's point of view to the four-wheeler. So appreciate everybody doing that. And we also got some stuff talking about lease purchase, talking about being owner-operator, that kind of thing. So go check it out. Like I said, it's YouTube is Redneck and Eyes. YouTube channel name is Redneck and Eyes. Redneckandeyes.com. You'll find a link to it on the website. Appreciate everybody's support. So until then, everybody have a safe and happy holiday. Thanksgiving is a great time to be with family and also a great time to get some good food. So check that out. And we'll, if there's any places giving out free food to truck drivers out on the road during the holiday, we'll make sure we share it on Redneck and Knives' Facebook page and Twitter account. So make sure you keep it up to date with that. Follow us along, subscribe, and like us and all, share and all that good stuff. So until next time, you guys stay safe, stay successful, keep between the ditches, and we'll see you out there on the road.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and Eyes was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a Redneck and Eyes.